Billy Milton is the Chief Human Capital Officer at the Agriculture Department. Billy, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. I want to start off, if we can, by talking about training. A lot of people have said across government that training is one of the first things that goes when budget times get tight. What's your experience at USDA with training and budget? Thanks for joining me today, Billy.
Thank you for having me. And that's accurate. Training budgets have suffered as funding has been reduced. However, here at USDA, our training community, you know, has risen to the challenge and has found creative ways to continue to offer training and employee development that is low to no cost to our personnel. In my office, we have a program called the Virtual University. And that works with all USDA agency and staff offices to ensure that employees have training from the point when they start in the federal service through the executive level. Many courses are offered at no cost through our learning management system that we have identified as AgLearn. Additional examples of development that requires no funding but is essential to advancing the careers of our employees include like mentoring, developmental details, and rotations. And we have a goal that every senior executive at USDA engage in mentoring to demonstrate the value and importance that mentoring brings to career development.
What's been the response that you've gotten to your mentoring program as you've set that as your goal to get everybody to participate? What's the kind of feedback have you gotten?
We started it tracking it last year, and the feedback has been most positive. And part of the program has every executive, you know, being a mentor, and we're extending it, you know, also to supervisors and managers. For example, I mentor 14 individuals, and many of these individuals are senior executives to interns to employees that work outside of USDA. And all employees and departmental management that are under the Assistant Secretary for Administration are required to have a mentor.
So that relationship, I imagine, looks different for every mentor and mentee. What's kind of the range? Give me a sense of the landscape of if I want to engage as a mentor, what the various levels of responsibility, time commitments, and so on would be that I might have an opportunity to choose from?
It varies depending upon the actual mentoring relationship of the mentee and the mentor. Most mentors and mentees would also be utilizing an individual development plan to gauge the mentoring relationship. At present, sitting before me is a Pathways intern. And now I meet with him probably once a week. He actually shadows me, you know, several different times during the week to any and all meetings that I attend in which he can gain some value from.
And the relationship there between each of those 14 people and you, that varies, I imagine. You have different levels of engagement with different folks, depending whether they're in your agency or out. You mentioned there are some who aren't even in your agency that you're working with.
That is correct. Yes.
I want to turn now to the retirement wave. A lot of people have speculated that at some point in time we're going to see a huge amount of federal employees who will leave the government all at the same time. But we now have the January numbers in hand, and they were actually lower than the Office of Personnel Management expected. What are your thoughts about the possibility of a huge amount of people, even though we have so many eligible, leaving at the same time now that we've gotten this far into the possibility of this wave? I mean, we've been really thinking about it for about the 15 years or so now, it seems.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've been referring to this retirement tsunami.
Right.
We haven't seen it. At USDA, we are seeing a steady rate of retirement among our experienced employees. And what I believe is, as the economy improves, we expect to see our retirement rates to increase. You know, when you look at the results of the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, they show that our employees are strongly committed to USDA's myriad of missions, and that I believe that folks continue, you know, to stay engaged in public service as a result of that. And the budget, but the budget has had, you know, a much greater impact on our employment numbers than employee retirement. Over the past 4 years, our employment has been reduced by approximately 8%. You know, and to address this reduction in staff, we've had to effectively utilize VeriVisa, Voluntary Early Retirement Authority, Voluntary Separation Incentive Pay Authority, establish a position management departmental regulation and restructuring to make the best use of the staff that we do retain.
Do you have any indications that anything like that's on the horizon, or are you at the level that you're going to be at for a while, Billy?
We're seeing a change. The 2014 Farm Bill was signed and enacted into law, and that is going to provide, last year. That is impacting our employment numbers, and our employee numbers should start to increase.
How is this attrition level affecting the way that you're planning for your workforce in 2020 and 2025? I mean, I know that you and your colleagues think farther out than a lot of people in government.
Yeah. Well, you know, one is it's paramount that we retain good employees, and we should never take that for granted. But there is some concern about attracting students and recent graduates to begin their careers in government. You know, we have the recent pathways regulation that was implemented that was initially challenging to many of my colleagues in the federal government regarding implementing. You know, but with the support of the Office of Personnel Management, we've been able to address many of the initial challenges we've had, and are presently effectively utilizing the program to recruit new talent to our workforce. And, you know, the work-life balance strategies, you know, such as alternate work schedules and telework, are also critical tools for retaining employees.
The recruitment is a good sign. I did see a note recently that the quit rate for employees who have been with the government for less than 3 years is a lot higher than the retirement rate, and that's probably not very encouraging when you're trying to plan a workforce for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And I can't say that that's accurate for USDA. I did have a member of my staff run a report for my assistant secretary last week that showed for our millennials, 17% of our workforce is millennials. And those are the individuals that normally, move jobs more frequently than somebody that's been in a job 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
And that's a much higher rate than other agencies.
That was my understanding, and it was surprising when I saw it. I did not think it was going to be that high.
What do you think is driving that? Because other agencies would like to copy what you're doing, Billy.
I think one is over the last several years, and I think we have one of the best secretaries that served the president in the cabinet. You know, we're out there telling, you know, the American people what we do. And that, you know, I mean, in the past, and most government agencies don't market what they do. You know, it was surprising to me to find out, you know, last year that rural development is like the fifth largest banker in this country with the loans and everything we do in rural America.
Is the retention game now easier for you to play, or is it getting harder for you, do you think, Billy?
I would say it's mixed, because I'm going to be faced with USDA is going to be faced with the same challenges as my colleagues in other federal and other executive departments, and you know we're looking for the best and brightest. So a lot of folks that have, you know, tenure and, you know, looking at recent grads, they're going to continue to look for opportunities. So a lot of folks, there's going to be a lot of movement, and we've been witnessing that, among federal agencies. So a lot of your more senior individuals or experienced staffers will move from one agency to another.
You mentioned the best places to work data. What's your latest take on the analysis that you've done on your agency so far from best places to work data?
Well, you know, we moved up for 2014 to 13th out of 19 large agencies. And we understand the importance of engaging employees. And, you know, I mean, and for the last several years, we've employed strategies, you know, to be used to encourage improvements, and, you know, in our employee engagement and global satisfaction index. You know, it starts with our senior leadership. You know, in addition, it's important that we bring folks in, you know, like NASA, Department of Transportation, and others, Partnership for Public Service, and have them share some best practices that have been employed other places, and to communicate that to our senior execs, our supervisors, and managers.
I think, though, that it's fair to say the best places to work numbers are just some of the data points that you look at. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's all the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, and the media gets caught up on that and determines, oh, you know, if you're in the bottom tier, you're one of the worst places to work. That's not, the Employee Viewpoint Survey is nothing more than a tool. And if it's effectively used, it's used just to improve employee engagement and organizational performance.
Tell me about the strategies that you are employing for engagement. What are some of the key things that you've seen be successful for you, Billy?
One is holding senior executives accountable. For example, 2 years ago, well, this is the second year, all senior executives have in their performance management system, or more specifically their performance plan, you know, a standard that requires them to effectively utilize the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey to address their scores. In addition, we've extended that this year to supervisors and managers. But more importantly, what we have done is said, okay, you know, how do we effectively engage our workforce? And we do that by implementing employee advisory councils, regularly having meetings with employees, and the meetings must be two-way communications. Having public ceremonies, award ceremonies, and recognition ceremonies for employee contributions, and keeping employees informed as to what's happening within their agency and within the Department of Agriculture. You know, we have several, well, we have a mission area and three staff offices and an agency that are doing extremely well in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey.
You and I met at the graduation ceremony for the most recent class of the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University.
Yes, we did.
And I was struck by the stories that some of those folks told. And I came away from that ceremony with a sense that not just on a professional level, but on a personal level, you found that engagement concept to be very important. How do you apply the way that you personally look at employee engagement to this idea of interpreting the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey data and best places to work and all of that? Because the whole point is not to get better numbers. The whole point is to make USD a more engaging, satisfying place for people to work, right?
Right. And it starts with leadership. And I don't wish to, pound my own chest, but I gauge how well I do on the performance of my organization. And, you know, my organization has been a top performer. You know, they have won awards in telework and diversity and in IT, you name it. I mean, in fact, they've contributed to USDA winning more awards in 5 years than USDA won in the previous 20. And, you know, my employee engagement and global satisfaction is one of the highest in USDA.
I want to talk about telework a little bit, if we could, please. For a long time, middle-level managers were the cohort that were most skeptical about telework. The leaders at the top of the organization were enthusiastic about it. The folks in the rank and file were enthusiastic about it, but it was the mid-level managers that were a little more shaky.
Yeah.
Are you starting to see that transition, and what's the telework landscape look like at USDA?
I would like to say it's better than all the awards we've won, but we're above the average in the, with the federal government and employee satisfaction with telework. One of the things that I, and we clearly have room for improvement, and it is something that we measure monthly and share with the secretary and his sub-cabinet and staff offices on their performance on individuals participating in telework. And I continue to see more mid-level managers, and it's not just mid-level managers, many folks that are in the positions similar to what I hold, executives, that, you know, have not embraced, you know, telework. I have seen that gradually changing.
Is that a generational thing that you think will change as more people who are comfortable with telework move up in the ranks, or is there some other element that you think will ultimately drive telework to being more widely accepted?
I think it's both. It's generational, and it's other elements are going to control it. I mean, in the event that we are going to be successful, and I'm not talking about USDA, I'm talking about the federal government, we must be able to, you know, have flexibilities that make us an employer of choice. You know, I mean, my daughters, I got, you know, some daughters that are out of school and everything else and are in the workforce. They're not getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock like I did and in the office at 6 o'clock in the morning and work until 6, 7 o'clock at night. But they can get more accomplished with computers, you know, in, you know, half a day than I can get accomplished in 12 hours being in an office. In addition, the millennials work differently. And we got to look at them differently. But when we're looking at the challenges we're having with elder care and everything else that's impacting this country, you know, and if we don't take the necessary steps to ensure that we're providing our employees and those new recruits an environment where they feel valued and know that they are going to be provided the maximum flexibilities allowed by law, then we're not going to succeed. And I think folks have understood that, and that's why we're seeing more individuals participating in alternate work schedules. You know, more managers, supervisors, and executives now embracing telework. And telework, just to me, is a no-brainer. When you look at inclement weather, when you look at natural disasters, when you look at unforeseen events, you know, We do need, for continuity of operations, you know, a telework policy. In addition, where the federal footprint is being reduced, you know, we need to find alternate space for our employees to perform work. In addition, a good example, why would you allow, you know, charge an employee leave for 8 hours that has a dentist appointment versus that let that employee telework and just take the 2 hours off a day? It's productivity.
Are you confident that the government's moving fast enough, though, to be able to set the policies in place to let those things happen?
I think so. Under this administration, clearly, I believe that is the case. And I think Director Archuleta and Beth Colbert over there at OPM, Director Archuleta, and OMB Deputy Director Beth Colbert are leading that effort government-wide. And we're on board.
What level of collaboration are you seeing in the C-suite at USDA? I'm hearing more about HR people like yourself that are now involved and engaged in discussions about IT, about financial management, and so on, rather than setting policies and going, oh, by the way, I guess we should figure out how to staff that.
Okay. Well, as the Chief Human Capital Officer here, you know, I've always had a good working relationship with my colleagues in the C-suite, you know, the Chief Financial Officer, Chief Information Officer, Chief of Acquisitions, and we also would include our Performance Improvement Officer in that area. You know, and we meet regularly, you know, about key issues and keeping each other informed and working together collaboratively. You know, for example, in, you know, several years ago, the Secretary initiated what is referred to as the Administrative Solutions Project as part of a blueprint for stronger services. And the ASP is intended to strengthen the administrative services of the department through process improvement while reducing operational timelines and overall costs. And this initiative has increased our collaboration among this, our, you know, C-suite employees.